This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzel with Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. President Raisi of Iran standing before the United Nations General Assembly. I remind all of us that what I know about President Raisi is that in his early days in Tehran during the 20th century, in the early days of the revolution, he was known by some as the hanging judge. I read from the AP report. Iran's president insisted that his country is serious about reviving a deal meant to prevent it from acquiring a nuclear bomb, but questioned whether Tehran could trust America's commitment to any eventual accord. Malcolm and I are very pleased to welcome Dr. Saeed Ghasemnejad of the to help us understand where we are right now at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy in the Vienna negotiation over the so-called Iran deal, the reawakening of the JCPOA of 2015, which was left by the U.S. under the Trump administration. And right now, the general understanding is that the Biden administration wants to find a way to reawaken it, although that is very vague language. Saeed, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining us. Mr. Raisi, President Raisi's remarks saying that they're serious and that the White House cannot be trusted. What is he saying? Because that language doesn't make any sense to me. Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you for having me. Raisi, as you saw in his speech, is a boring but yet more despicable version of Ahmadinejad. And on the deal, what we have there, many say the deal is dead. I don't think that's true. I think the administration is convinced that the only way forward is to have a deal that offers the regime $1 trillion by 2030, plus a patient pathway to nuclear bomb, and an open hand in the region to do what it wants. But the question is, and it's a very good question, so if the deal is so good, why the regime doesn't accept it? And to understand that, you have to see that Khamenei basically has two options. One is the one that Biden is offering him, which is make the deal now, and probably you can make a bomb later based on the way I described the deal. The second option he has is to make the bomb now and then make the deal. And I think because Khamenei sees the United States as weak, he perceives the United States to be weak, and I think it is, at least under Iran front, the Biden administration is very weak. I think the second option, which is making the bomb, is becoming more and more appealing to him. I don't know what's his decision. I don't know if he has made his decision, but I think the second option is becoming more and more appealing. And even if he's not choosing the second option, he thinks he can get more from the Biden administration. Look, you have the November election, so Khamenei knows before that, nothing is going to happen. There will be no significant pressure. You have the December boycott decision by Europe. Europe is going to cut the acquisition of oil from Russia. So Khamenei knows Europeans are not going to do anything before that during the winter. So I think he thinks he can get more. And if he doesn't, he sees the prospect of going nuclear very appealing prospect.
Malcolm?
So he has essentially the best of both worlds by not making the deal and holding out the prospect of the deal. You have written, though, that you think that the Russian interests have shifted to be more in favor of the deal than they were. I have heard that they are sitting in Tehran as well as dictating the terms in Geneva. What is it that Russia thinks it gets under the new deal now that would encourage them to push for Iran to agree?
Yeah, they have changed their tone. I don't know if they're pushing Iran to agree. There's some language that they are doing it. But I think over the last few months, they have had, if you follow the news, Iran and Russia, they have been negotiating about energy, oil swap, gas swap, oil, everything. And I think Russia thinks, even if there is a deal, there definitely would be some pressure on Russia in the Europe market because you will have, I think, something around 800,000 barrels of oil, Iranian oil, which is similar to Russian oil, can go to Europe market. So some of Russia will lose some of its fresh leverage over Europe. But I think Russia thinks it can get something in return. One is that if Iran is back to the financial network, international financial network, Iranians are very good in sanctions busting. They will help Russia to do sanction busting. Second is that, as I said, they have they have been talking about all kinds of deals in the energy sector. So I think something can happen there in terms of gas swap, oil swap. We have to wait and see. The third one is that Russia and Iran have a $10 billion nuclear contract. Russia has not been able to get money on that front because Iran doesn't have money. Iran doesn't have access to financial network that much. So if the sanctions are lifted, Iran can get that money, that $10 billion can go to Russia. Russian mm-hmm. companies can start working on that. And the other thing is that Russian companies are getting contracts to develop Iranian oil and gas fields. There is a $40 billion contractor. So if Iran is back to the international financial market, I think we can see Russian companies going to Iran developing those fields. That's $40 billion. So Russia, I think, has a more favorable view of the deal now.
Saeed, I learned from a report at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, authored in part by David Albright, who is a longtime guest on this show about nuclear weapons, especially the problem in Iran. I learned that the IAEA has identified, thanks to Israeli intelligence documents that flowed out of Iran from the early part of this century, 2003, I believe, is the date that's critical here, that Iran has had a nuclear weapons program and that there are four sites the IAEA wants more inspection because there's inconsistencies of Iran's claims of innocence. Four sites. And I'm told that that is so far not negotiable as far as the IAEA, the UN watchdog, is concerned. And to your understanding, Iran doesn't want to talk about it, but does the U.S. want to talk about it? Can they get around the IAEA's insistence on seeing those four sites again?
And so I differ on this front too, David and Andrea. My understanding is that during the last deal, the 2015 deal, we had a similar situation. And what happened was that actually the United States and Europeans, they forced the IAEA to close this. So I'm afraid this something like that can happen. Well, my understanding is that Iran apparently wants a very explicit guarantee that this happens. That's a little problematic for the U.S. But I think it's possible that if they have a deal, the Europeans and the Biden administration will pressure the IAEA to close those cases one way or another.
Can order the UN, IAEA to back down? That's what would happen, right? Washington would say to Mr. Grassi, the director general, never mind.
Yeah, what happens is that Grassi will issue a report, and then Europeans and the U.S. administration will say, okay, we find this satisfying. No more. I think that's possible to happen because Grossi has his mandate from the from the countries which are on the council there.
Malcolm,
did you see anything in Raisi's speech that gave you pause to think that were there messages, hidden messages that you would be much more sensitive to that would be an indication of the direction that he's prepared to go?
I really didn't see anything. He repeated the same line. I honestly think they are just buying time. So the time is on their side. So they are quite happy with the situation. And whenever they make demands, when it's partially or fully satisfied, they make another demand.
And is there anything to the role of the succession issue that seems to be popping up all the time about the Supreme Leader? Is that playing any role here?
We have about 30 seconds, Saeed. Go ahead.
I'm not sure how many seem pretty healthy in the last meeting he had to me.
And so right now, the Iran deal is an unknown. Is that correct, Malcolm? Just an unknown, but it's still alive.
That's the message. American officials have been saying what he said, that they think it's dead right now. Nothing's going to happen until after, I think, the mid-year elections.
Right.
Because the administration doesn't want it. The real question is what happens in December.
Dr. Saeed Ghassemnejad is a senior Iran and financial economics advisor at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.